Our sermon text for this morning comes from the Gospel of John chapter 16, and we're going to be reading verses 16 through 22. John chapter 16 takes place during a very interesting time during the life of Jesus and the disciples, because everything from John chapter 13 and 17 take place during a very interesting time. You see, John chapter 13 is the Last Supper, where Judas goes to betray Jesus, and chapter 18 is where Judas finally comes back to the garden and betrays him with a kiss. So everything that falls in between the beginning of 13 and the start of chapter 18 is very interesting, because Christ has very little time left with his disciples before he's going to be betrayed and crucified. He uses his time well to try to prepare his disciples for the death that had to come, but even though he tried very hard to prepare them, it didn't work. They weren't quite ready for his death. And so, I'd ask you to please rise in respect to the Word of God. And we're going to look at these verses from John 16, 16 through 22. And we read in Jesus' holy name. A little while and you will see me no longer. And again a little while and you will see me. So some of his disciples said to one another, "What is this that he says to us? A little while and you will not see me. And again a little while and you will see me. And because I am going to the Father." So they were asking, "What does he mean by a little while? We do not know what he is talking about." Jesus knew that they wanted to ask him, so he said to them, "Is this what you are asking yourselves? What I meant by saying, 'A little while and you will not see me, and again a little while and you will see me'? Truly, truly, I say to you, you will weep and lament, but the world will rejoice. You will be sorrowful, but your sorrow will turn into joy. When a woman is giving birth, she has sorrow because her hour has to come. But when she has delivered the baby, she no longer remembers the anguish for joy that a human being has been born into this world. So also you have sorrow now, but I will see you again, and your hearts will rejoice, and no one will take your joy from you." Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Your word is truth. God, I pray that you would use your truth to convict us of sin. Lord, and grant us your grace. Use your word to teach us everything Jesus accomplished for us, and let us trust in it, we pray. In your holy name, amen. You may be seated. Well, there is a particular joy that only people with small children know. When I wrote this sermon, I had no idea that these words were going to be prophetic, because what I'm going to talk about in a minute actually happened again last night. But there's a particular joy that only people with small children know. It's the joy of a completely sleepless night, because your kids take turns waking you up. After about 3 o'clock last night, I didn't get any sleep. So I might take a nap under the pulpit later. Those nights where one kid comes into the room and you put him to bed, and then you lay down and you're almost asleep, and the other kid comes in and they have something so important that needs your attention, like, "Daddy, Daddy, there's a booger on my finger." "Okay. Daddy, Daddy, I have to go potty." "You've known where the toilet is for a long time, son." Those nights seem like they're going to last forever, don't they? They seem like they're a suffering that is never, ever going to end. Those nights are no fun at all, and I would do just about anything to get rid of those nights, anything except for not having children. You know, because those times, and many times during parenthood, are really difficult. But the joy of being a parent, the love I have for those children, it outweighs the difficulty of sleepless nights, and it outweighs the difficulties of the struggles of being a parent. Even though those sufferings and those moments seem like they might last forever, the truth of the matter is they pass. And after they pass, the joy of being a parent once again returns. In our sermon text for today, Jesus is telling the disciples that there's a time of suffering coming for them, a suffering that they can't avoid, and it's a suffering that in the moment is going to feel like it's going to last forever. A suffering that's going to seem like it has no end. But Jesus tells them that their suffering is for a little while. And after that little while, their suffering will be turned into joy. Their suffering would come. It would come when Jesus would leave them for a time. But their suffering would turn to joy when he rose again. The disciples didn't understand at all what Jesus was talking about. And we may be tempted to think, how could you guys miss this? It's clear to everybody that Jesus is talking about his death and resurrection. Why in the world, disciples, you people who have been with Jesus for so long, why don't you get this? But we really shouldn't be so hard on them. We know what Jesus was talking about because we have the Gospel of John. We can flip ahead to chapter 18 and see Jesus betrayed by Judas. We can flip to 19 and see Jesus suffering at the hands of Pontius Pilate. We can see him flogged. We can see him nailed to a cross. And we see him die. You see, we know that little while is just 3 days before he rises again that very first Easter morning. 3 days in the belly of the earth, just as Jonah spent 3 days in the belly of the fish. You see, but the disciples, they didn't have the benefit of hindsight. They couldn't pick up God's word and just read the details. Jesus' lesson to them was about the cross that he had to face. But it was not only about his cross. You see, Jesus speaks also of the cross that the disciples would have to bear. The disciples at this point would not have to face their own deaths, though most of them one day would face their death for the sake of Christ. Instead, their cross and their suffering would come when Jesus was betrayed. And it would culminate on the cross. They would suffer when they saw all hope end, when that man that they had followed, the man that they had trusted, the man that they thought might even be the Messiah, was hoisted high on a cross with a crown of thorns on his head. You see, the events of that cross, of Jesus crying out, my God, why have you forsaken me? Of Jesus breathing his last. These looked to the disciples like the end of the story. It looked like they had put their trust in the wrong man. It looked like the last few years of their life were completely wasted. It appeared that there was no hope left. And even worse, now these disciples were connected to a false prophet who had been crucified, and their fate might be the same. So there they were. They were mourning the loss of a teacher and a friend without hope. Now that the one that they thought the Messiah was dead, they were waiting in fear that they might meet the same fate as him. You see, the disciples, they had much to suffer. They didn't know it at the time, but we know that it was just for a little while. For them, it must have seemed like it would never end, that all hope was gone. Thankfully for them, Jesus did not stay dead. Their time of suffering was only for a little while. And Jesus rose again and turned their sorrow into joy. Their lives had not been wasted. Their faith was not in vain. Jesus was the Messiah. And by his death and resurrection, sin, death, and the devil had been conquered once and for all. There's a third cross that's talked about by Jesus in this passage, a third time of suffering that Jesus points to. That third cross is the cross that all believers in Christ bear. In this life, on this side of glory, you see, we're plagued. We're plagued by our own old sinful nature that does war with our new nature in Christ. And so in this life, oftentimes, we are going to confess like the Apostle Paul, I do not understand my own actions, for I do not do what I want, but I do the very thing I hate. Nothing good dwells within me that is in my flesh, for I have the desire to do what is right, but not the ability to carry it out. For I do not do the good I want, but the evil I do not want is what I keep on doing. Wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? You see, we all go through times of struggle and trial and temptation and pain and suffering. It's part of life on this side of glory. And in those moments where we face the attacks of the evil one, where we struggle against our own sinful nature, we experience the terrible effects of sin in this world. We may be tempted to wonder where Jesus is and wonder why he hasn't acted and helped us out in the way that we wanted or the way that we expected. In those moments, we may even cry out like King David did in Psalm 13. How long, O Lord, will you forget me forever? How long will you hide your face from me? How long must I take counsel in my soul and have sorrow in my heart all the day? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? Consider me and answer me, O Lord my God. Light up my eyes, lest I sleep the sleep of death. You see, that is our cross that we must bear. As we follow Jesus, temptations and trials and times of suffering will come. And there are times where that suffering is going to be great, where that suffering is going to feel overwhelming to us. But I tell you the truth, my friends. Even though those moments may seem like they're going to last forever, they'll only last for a little while. Because just as Christ rose and the disciples' sorrow turned to joy, one day Christ will return and change our sorrow to joy as well. Even in the midst of trial, God is better to us than we deserve. And we can have joy in the midst of trial because we know how all things are going to end. We don't know what tomorrow brings, but we know what the end of time brings. The end of time brings a joy that comes from the sure hope of eternity with our God and King in paradise. This was the same joy that David had. He finished Psalm 13 by these words, "But I have trusted in your steadfast love. My heart shall rejoice in your salvation. I will sing to the Lord because he has dealt bountifully with me." David knew that his salvation was bigger than the struggles of the day. There was no denying it for him. Paul finished Romans 7 with perhaps my favorite verse in all of Holy Scripture, Romans 8:1. "There is therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus." This world is one that's filled with suffering. We can't escape it. It's filled with suffering because, frankly, we are all sinners and we live in a world corrupted by sin. So there's no getting away from suffering here. But the perfect life and atoning sacrifice of Jesus Christ, they redeemed mankind. And the resurrection of our Lord is the first fruits of the new creation. You see, on that last day, those of us who are in Christ will rise with him. The old sin nature that we've done war with our entire lives will finally be put away forever. Our bodies will be remade and we will live in the new heavens and new earth with our God and King for eternity. We suffer now, but in the scope of eternity, even the longest and worst suffering on this earth lasts for just a little while. It's just a little while when we compare it to eternity with our God. May that day when he finally calls us home, when he finally frees us from this body of death, and when he makes all things new, come soon. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for your promise to return on that last day and turn our sorrow into joy. Lord, always allow us to keep that perspective that suffering is just for a little while. But eternity is with you because of the finished work of Jesus. God, allow us to trust and rest in that finished work. Pray these things, Lord, in your holy name. Amen.